wrestling fans, welcome to the Monday Night Raw post show, coming to you live from megapowersradio.com. I'm your host for tonight, Tony Mango, filling in for Mike Payton, as he had some prior engagements going on with work, so he was unable to watch this spectacular episode of Monday Night Raw. Oh, fantastic, wasn't it? I am joined by everybody in the chat room's favorite panelist, Steve Unwego.
Yep, I am back from jolly old England, and I feel like dog shit, and the show did not help.
Dog shit's better than feeling like dog puke, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's nothing worse than dog puke.
But I'm not only joined by Steven Wego. That's not all. This is the most interactive WWE Raw experience out there. And instead of limiting you guys to just voting on the WWE app, we want to let you voice your opinions about what happened on tonight's episode. And you can do that by calling in and talking with us in several different ways, if Blog Talk Radio allows that to happen, of course. First, you can call in from your phone, and there's two different numbers you can call in. Number one, 760-512-7247, or the other one that you might be able to see on your screen right now, 713-955-0363. You can also call in and reach us through Skype, or you can go ahead and talk it up in the chat room that we have going on. Got a couple people going on there, some of the regulars, Ferris419, Five Times Combo, a whole lot of guests. We got Mysticato himself, Drew White, and a bunch of different guests that don't have any usernames. So sign up, guys. Tell us what your names are, and we'll be able to give you a little bit of shout-out here and there.
Also pick a name that's easy to fucking read.
Except for my buddy Dane with the VXXYX, whatever.
Yeah,
VixVixVix, as Peyton likes to say. So we invite you guys to get your thoughts out there. We'll be opening up the phone lines in a little bit. So there's a couple people that have called in already. Stay tuned. Sit tight for a little bit. We're going to get some things out of the way real quick, and then we'll be able to hop on and talk to you guys. What we usually do every time that we start this off is the overall idea of what we were going for and what we took from this episode of Raw. So, Wego, what did you think? What's that one big idea that you took away from this episode?
Well, I thought there was a silver lining to the Bella Twins, and they fucking sure as hell made me hate them again, didn't they? I mean, fuck. I was like, wow, Brie cut a hell of a promo before a match with Stephanie. Yeah, I had a decent match. And then went and shit all over it tonight. Jesus Christ, that segment was horrendous. And there was barely anything good on this show, if anything. So this is what sticks out the most. How horrendous that fucking segment is and how embarrassing it was to be a wrestling fan during it.
Oh, my God. Drew had said before, for those who don't know, Drew has started college. He's hanging in the dorm room there. And for the obvious kind of expectations, Drew's roommates are not wrestling fans. So he said that when he was watching this, they were just sort of looking at him like, what the fuck, man? And I can't blame him, because that segment was awful. It's just really fucking bad, and it's really embarrassing. Not that this whole episode
wasn't... You'd rather be caught jacking it to porn than someone walking in on that.
Well, see, if you were at least jacking it to that, the Bella Twins are hot, but when it got to the point where Brie was doing that fake cry bullshit, I mean, I defended her in this Hottest Divas tournament that we just had for all the times that you were calling her horse-faced, but, man, she looked awful there in that part, like, shit.
And Lola didn't seem to mind. He was getting all up in that Bella ass.
Well, he had said earlier he reminded himself of how he used to say puppies all the time. So he got into that mentality, and he was kind of like, he did a little revertigo back to the Attitude Era, where he could just be like, yeah, I just grope whatever, it's okay. that's got to be one of the main things that I took away on this episode, too. And what you had said earlier, I'm going to echo that again, that this episode just sucked. So for those people that are waiting to talk, we're actually going to end up bringing you guys on a lot sooner than we usually do. And I got a feeling that we're not going to talk too much about this episode of Raw. So, hey, if it comes down to it and we end up not exactly haven't a whole lot to talk about, then maybe we'll do a little bit of a test of the upcoming All Talk show and just bullshit about whatever. So,
on that note, Seth Rollins' cat has broken into my room and he is attempting to eat the blinds at this very moment.
So if you hear om nom nom in the background, then the joke's coming to life. So we're going to take a caller here from the 920 area code. 920, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Anthony Heater.
Anthony Heater, what's up, dude? Writer from smarkoutmoment.com.
Yep.
How's it going, man? What did you think about this episode?
You know, actually, a lot of the last recent Raws have been subpar at best. I'm not feeling the Roman Reigns Empire feel anymore. I mean, I was just talking to my friend the other week about how much I appreciated him in the Shield as more like a silent assassin, but then they let him talk, and it gets worse and worse. And it's really driving me up the wall. And then they keep just throwing Kane, which I actually think hurts Seth Rollins as a heel because, you know, he has so much talent, but they don't let him show it. I love his matches with Dean Ambrose, but then something happens and they ruin everything they had going. It's boggling. And you're dead on about the Bella Twins. It's god awful. I mean, none of them can do anything. I mean, besides being total divas. I mean, let's just be honest. That's all they're good for. And it's cross promotion. So.
Well, at least you got the cross promotion. I mean, they could have it worse. They could have had the Rosa Mendez whole thing. That she's going to be on Total Divas this season, and she didn't do jack shit for years. So, at least they can kind of wrestle in the ring compared to Rosa, right?
Well, yeah. Rosa is more of a salsa dancer. That's all she really is.
She was good at that, though.
Yeah. I mean, but they have so much focus on the Bella Twins because of Total Divas. It really just takes away the rivalry between AJ Lee and Paige, which was fantastic when AJ Lee comes out and just the mind games. It's brilliant, but it gets shoved away because the Bella Twins need to be in that prime time slot. It's just, you know, creative. I know they like that, but as a wrestling fan, it eats at me that they're throwing away something really, really good for something really, really bad.
What did you think about the little switch-up that we have in the tag division now, that Gold and Stardust, what they're referring to them as, they're not heels? What do you think?
I like that. I really do. Just because of the the family they come through, they know the tactics you can do to cause heat right away. To me, I was surprised, but a good surprise. I've been kind of crave that once in a while. And when Dustin comes in as Gold does, and he goes, you do that, and you're doing that intentionally. It was great because it's like, oh, you got these baby faces that everybody loves, and then you just beat the crap out of them. Now you're instant heel. It's about time. You need a good heel. And you have a crazy team, a bizarre team, and now they're just good heels. And I want something like that when they had a Harper and Rowan. That was a good rivalry before the Usos. Maybe with Star and Gold, they can get it. Because let's just be honest, I think they're just going to make it like this was a ploy so we can get tag team title shots.
Just that way they can move on, have the feud with them, and then maybe have like another set of heels? Or do you think that this is going to be the final switch over? Usos are going to end up losing the titles, and then we're going to have to get somebody else to swoop in and take it from the heels. What do you think is going to end up happening?
I think we're going to have another, they always make that you're going to create a team. Which, where we have two singles that aren't doing anything, like Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil, and somehow they'll get in the title picture because the WWE make a mockery of the tag team division anyways.
He is right. We haven't had a makeshift black team in a while.
Yeah, we need something like that. I mean, I wish they actually develop a tag team division well, and they have good teams in place in the Usos, in Harper and Rowan. They just throw it away so quick because it's all about the singles, and you can move more merchandise that way. But with Star and Gold, I want to see a long feud between the Usos, just as the heel and bad, you know, heel and good, the face. Oh, it's something you crave because you don't always get to see that, especially if you have a good tag team division.
What we usually like to do, we got a couple people on the line here waiting, so we don't want to make sure that they don't lose out on their call. But what we usually do is high point, low point. What do you think? Best thing of the night, worst thing of the night? What would you say?
High, AJ Lee and Paige. Low, Bella Twin.
I think we're going to be hearing a lot of that tonight.
Oh, it was terrible. So terrible. I can't wait to see what they do with their Twitter account if they finally split them up, keep it real. But
oh, that's right.
I can't see that happening.
I forgot that they had the same Twitter.
They share a Twitter account.
Hopefully they both just delete their Twitter account and we never hear from them again.
Oh. Well, I just look at the pictures.
One of them's gonna do Rochambeau, and whichever one loses gets the Twitter account, and the other one who wins gets the entrance music. That's how they're gonna settle it.
Shouldn't the loser get the entrance music? That shit is horrible.
It's better than the old one that they used to have.
They had an old one?
Yeah, they had an old one before that.
Oh god, I must have wiped it from my memory.
All right, well, Anthony, we're going to move on to another one of the callers here, but stick around. We might end up grabbing you back on when we end up doing the whatever we end up doing with the rest of the episodes. I don't think we'll be talking for a full thing. All righty, we're going to go over to 732 area code. 732, what's up? What are you calling from? What's your name? How's it going?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, what's up, 732? What's your name?
Hey,
hello, 732, can we hear you?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you? Sorry. It's really bad. It's Michael Roach.
Oh, Michael Roach. Oh, hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
Another writer from smartcatmoment.com. So what were you interested in this episode? What sucked? What was great? What do you think?
Well, is your question, what was I interested in? Nothing. This episode may have been the worst wrestling event I've ever witnessed other than Battleground 2013.
That bad, huh?
And
damn, it wasn't that bad. Jesus.
Really? Oh, dear. I don't know what to say. I have no words.
I think we've had some worse episodes overall over the past year or so, but man, this is not doing any favors for Monday nights.
And you know, when I first started watching this episode, I had a very good feeling it would be very good, and I was highly disappointed.
What made you think that it was going to be a really good one? Was it just kind of falling off of the heels of SummerSlam, or that little Hall of Fame forum thing that they were teasing?
I mean, it was that, and I mean, that wasn't very interesting anyway, but, you know, the whole John Cena, Wyatt, you know, all that.
So what do you think about the Bella Twins situation? I think that's going to be pretty much everybody's big target to shit on tonight.
God. Really, I really think the Bellas need to go to an acting school, need a counselor, I don't know. This cannot continue.
What about the Stardust?
I mean, and Brie's just the whole Daniel Bryan Kane. I'm sure she was bad, but you know, she's gotten better. But Nikki, by God. And now they're using her in a big way, and she's just awful.
What about the number one contendership? That's something we haven't brought up yet. The Cesaro RVD. Are you excited for Cesaro versus Sheamus?
I am excited because I really thought they were just going to drop Cesaro off the ball, and now they're using him, but now he's a contender for the most useless title in the history of the company. So I'm not sure what they're going to do about that. But, you know, as long as he gets a match at Night of Champions, it should be good. And hopefully he wins it because Sheamus has no point of having it.
Yeah, he's not really the best champion that they got there. It's kind of a lame duck champion.
The only thing I like about Sheamus are his hats.
Well, he can rock those hats. I can't. He's got that on me at the very least.
He does. He does. He's got that Scottish hat kind of thing. You know. But I'm kind of upset he hasn't wrestled in, like, what, a month?
It's been a while. He hasn't defended that title in quite a while.
He was sick. He was sick for like 2 weeks, I heard. That whole absence he had, like right after Battleground. He was like sick apparently, and then he was over in Britain doing some promoting. So he hasn't been in the ring for over a month.
Hey, maybe he'll make up for it.
Yeah, maybe. And hopefully those two have a good match. But right now, the number one match I am looking forward to at Night of Champions is probably the rematch for the championship. And I say this because at SummerSlam I was looking forward to a match. And then it was like not a match.
Drew right now is sitting there going, oh, this is a match. This is a match.
That's my catchphrase, guys. Come on.
So, Michael, if you had to say, what was your high point and low point for this episode?
Oh, my high point might have been the
opening before Cena came.
Just the stuff with the legends?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I expected more out of it, but it was entertaining. I was surprised Shawn Michaels was there.
What would you say is your low point?
My low point would be probably the end. I mean, Cena, Bray Wyatt was okay, then they started that stupid six-man tag team match. Big Show, Mark Henry can't wrestle. You know. Usual.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in. We got a couple other callers that are waiting patiently, so we're going to move on to them. But I'll keep you on the line here if we start doing that whole bullshit about nothing stuff. Grab you back on and talk about whatever. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right.
Alrighty, we're going to move along to another caller here. 765 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's going on?
Hey, this is Drew White calling from the dorm bathroom.
What's up, Drew?
Sorry. Oh, it must be a prank call. I fucking just hang up on this twat.
I'm looking at that red X right now. It's tempting.
Ooh. You don't want to do that. You don't want to mess with the Drew crew. Everyone knows that. Happiest campus.
So why didn't you tell me that you were on here? I could have had you on the entire time.
Well, let's just say the shower's on to cover up my voice. My roommates are sleeping. They get up really early. They get up at like 7 o'clock. I don't have classes till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know.
So I'm just picturing you in there with a laptop or a cell phone by a shower talking as quiet as you can.
About wrestling.
About wrestling.
Anyway.
All right, well, we've got 412 area code. I'm pretty sure I know who this is, so we're going to get you on the line here. JD, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight? I see you're filling in for Michael tonight.
Yeah, he was lucky enough that he skipped out on this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all can laugh about it, and I'm even having a laugh about it, too. I mean, this was an absolutely shitty-ass Raw tonight in Anaheim. I mean, this was a joke. I mean, I thought last week was okay in parts, but it could have been better. But tonight, they just totally, I mean, 2 weeks to go for Monday Night Football, I mean, they totally dropped the bomb here. I mean, they just had a steaming pile of crap and just took a dump all over the place tonight in this on this show in Anaheim. This was just absolutely a nightmare. I mean, would you say, you guys have been talking about the Bellas for the last 15 minutes or so. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it was horrible. It was terrible. I mean, Nikki slaps the king, calls Jerry the King Lawler old man. It's like, come on, really, Nikki? I mean, what are you trying to do here? I mean, you're just doing bad acting. I'm sorry. And then the end of the show, I mean, without question, the whole John Cena thing with the Big Slow and freaking Mark Henry, really, against the Wyatts? I mean, oh, you're selling the beating, John Cena, that you took a week and a half ago against Brock Lesnar. What do? Oh, you do this happy-go-lucky, high-fiving, chirpy Cena, however, even though you didn't do it at the beginning of the show, however, you come out at the end of the show acting real chirpy and happy, and like, oh, nothing's wrong with me. I didn't get my ass kicked in front of everyone a few weeks ago against Brock Lesnar. Well, guess what, Cena? I mean, here's an advice, however. Stay home. Just cancel this match right now and get out of it in any way, shape, or form, because this time, you're going to get hurt worse than you did before.
Well, so when they had this whole Hall of Fame forum thing, was that anything that you were excited to see because that could have added something different to it, or was that just bullshit?
Well, I thought it was going to come off okay. I mean, we saw a weekend. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the videos, too, about them doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, but that's beside the point. I thought they would have had something pretty cool to start out the show. I was a little surprised they went this route right out of the gate, because they could have done something out of the gate by having Cena come out and address the crowd, maybe, and that way he could have giving them a good rating right out of the start. I was a little appalled and surprised that they went this way right out of the gate, because they were going up against baseball. They were going up against the Emmys tonight, however, and I think that's what really kind of might hurt their rating tonight, because, I mean, they started out with this whole 10-15-minute thing, however, and you could tell, however, I mean, when Sean was talking, however, and he addressed Hogan, Hogan was not real happy once again, and Hogan, apparently, we've seen and heard the last few weeks, apparently has not been happy with the way management's been using him. I mean, he was upset a few weeks ago when Brock Lesnar insulted him, calling him grandpa and everything. You heard about that, I'm sure. And then tonight, Sean cuts him off at the beginning of after he had a chance to speak his piece, however, and then Sean cut him off at the pass along with Ric Flair, and he was shooting looks at both of them. It's like, what the hell, brother? You're trying to steal my thunder here? I mean, come on. Here's an idea, Hogan. Maybe you should just let them hear before you continue to play your so-called creative control card, because you do it so many times. You've done it so many times over the years, but tonight, you could just tell he was real pissed again when Sean and Flair just spoke before he could even get a word out, however, and I just think he wasn't too happy about that. But yeah, this is the thing they could have saved for the 9 o'clock hour and gotten a better rating. I thought this starting out of the gate was a very ballsy move, and I think it's going to hurt them when the ratings come out tomorrow.
What do you guys think about that, Drew and Wego? Do you think that that was a good idea to start off like that, or was it kind of a waste and they should have built it up towards later on in the episode?
To be quite honest, I thought it was a pointless segment and it didn't achieve much, which couldn't have been done with a video package. I found the whole promo rather cheesy, but then again, they've got such a boner for starting off every episode of Raw with a talking segment, but I think it drives away more viewers than it does attract. I think if you just start off each Raw with a solid wrestling match, it'll do a lot better than anything like this type of thing. So I wasn't a fan of tonight's opening segment, and I think you could have put a few segments on WWE.com and achieved the amount of interest you're going to get in the match.
What about you, Drew? What do you think about that?
Ooh, it's my turn to talk. I didn't like it.
All right, then.
As soon as it started, I was like, what's Jerry doing in the ring? And then next thing I know, I see Hulk Hogan. I'm like, oh, God, no, not a promo. Oh, no, they're sitting on a boot in the ring. You know, I was really hoping someone would come out and just, like, F5 them through their table they had set up, if you know what I mean. But it didn't really happen. And then I realized that this was going to be a bad episode as soon as that happened. So, yeah, this was a segment.
It was an awkward segment where you're wondering whose ailment's going to show up first. Is it going to be Sean's wonky eye, Hogan's back, or fucking Ric Flair's hip?
I don't think it would be Ric Flair's hip. I think he would just start bleeding. So, JD, what do you think about the whole Stardust turn? That's another one of the biggest things that happened tonight.
Well, it's another thing you guys were talking about. I was going to get into that next. You know, it was going to happen, but the thing is, though, however, I mean, after they dropped the belts, if you remember, what was it, back in March or April, they kind of kept them off to the side for a little while, and I talked to Mike about this. I talked to you guys about this as well in the weeks after that, in the weeks that have been coming, however. I mean, I'm not surprised they had this turn coming. This was just the plan I think they needed to do, but the question is, why didn't they do it sooner? I mean, for weeks on end until the last couple of weeks, however, they kept them in the back, however. They weren't really doing anything except staying in the back, however, and maybe doing a warm-up match, like in a dark match or a Superstars warm-up TV taping for WWE.com against opponents that are inferior in their same category, like Ryback, Soul, like Slater, Gator, I mean, that sort of thing, you know? And now they're bringing them back to television. They're challenging the Usos. I mean, there was talk at one point the Usos would be defending the belts against another team, but to have them go up against the Rhodes Brothers, It's a kind of a gutsy move by WWE standards. I mean, I don't know if the fans are going to buy into it. It seemed like the fans really shit on it tonight, however they could tell in Anaheim. However, I don't know if it's going to get over real well, however. I mean, personally, I think the Rhodes Brothers should have split up, and we talked about this before on the air. I mean, they should have done this right around WrestleMania this year or after WrestleMania. Instead, they're going to keep them as a team for a while now. But I do think down the road you will see the Rhodes Brothers split up and feud against each other. I just don't think it's going to work. I really don't.
Definitely something to pay attention to for the future, that's for sure.
Yep. And like I said to Mike, I was starting in a couple of weeks, and you guys, and I said last week, you guys heard me say at the time, we're going to have to debut that new form, however, for one question a week from the fans. I'm willing to answer questions from you guys or any fans out there who wants to throw a question out my way. Feel free.
I've got a question for you. What the hell does JD stand for? And it better be John Dorian.
No, well, my real name's Jared, and my last name's Italian. It's a hard name to say. I just go by JD or Doyle or Jay Berg or Jay Man, anything. I mean, my father's also name's John DiGirolamo, so I got JD and John D, but I just usually just stay to JD most of the time.
The more you know.
Gold tube star.
But like I said, guys, I just think the rain's going to be putrid tonight. I mean, I would not be surprised if they get a huge dive tonight. I mean, they'll probably down be in the 2-8 range, I think, maybe 2-7. This is going to be a major drop tonight.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being a really solid one that they a lot of people interested in, that's for sure, especially if they've got the Emmys in baseball and not watching this episode going against them.
Yep. But high point, low point, real quick, let's get into it. High point in the night, however, I would have to say as much, and this is one guy I continue to just really bitch about more than anything. You guys hear me bitch about, you know who I'm talking about, and that's the Moscow Mauler, the Moscow Meatball, as I'm going to call him now, or the Russian commie, Rusev and his whore Lana versus Swagger. I mean, to give him 12 minutes, this was a surprise. They went out of way to start this as the first good match, and this was the only good match of the night. The worst segment of the night, however, later in the night, it came into the Bo Dallas Jack Swagger thing. I mean, you talk about a guy who's just continues to be really, really frowned upon. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people say that Vince is not high on him right now. I hear he's not high on Adam Rose. I think the thing is, they brought these guys up too soon. They thought they were going to get over with this gimmick, however, and they were pretty good in NXT, especially Rose, however, as the Leo Kruger South African mercenary, and then they bring him in to make this look like the Austin Powers, Russell Brand wannabe, and what's happened? He hasn't been on TV in the last few weeks. Apparently, I don't know if they're repackaging him, or they just decided to finally say, you know what, we're going to pull the yank on this gimmick. And Bo Dallas, I mean, I'm sorry, this whole Bo Dallas Bo Lee thing, I'm getting tired of hearing the same shit every week. I mean, tonight he freaking beats Kofi Kingston. Now they're sending up him and Jack Swagger for Night of the Champions. Really? That's a slap in the face in more ways than one.
So that, what was your little recap there? What was the high point and the low point?
The Rusev Swagger match was the best match of the night by far. I mean, even though I don't like Rusev, however, I mean, they gave him 13 minutes, and this was a surprise. This was really actually the only best match of the night, in my opinion. The worst part of the night, however, I would have to say, is this whole Bo Dallas Swagger thing, however, and of course, Bo beat Kofi Kingston later tonight. So I would say the whole Bo Dallas thing is just not working at all. if you ask me. Like I said, with Adam Rose, it's just heading south more and more.
Alrighty, man. Thanks for calling in, JD, as always.
Yep, and I'll talk to you guys next Monday.
See you, Jared.
See you, guys.
Loving these calls, everybody. Make sure that you guys call in and talk to us about whatever the hell it is you guys want to talk to us about. That's 760-512-7247. Or you can call in using Skype, or you can just sit and hang around in the chat room. Got those people doing some different chatting going on here. I'm losing track of what things that I had wanted to mention that you guys had said there. So keep mentioning stuff. I'm sure I'll bring something out eventually. So, what, I don't know, what do you guys think? Just run down this episode?
Okay. Segment one, shit. Segment two, shit. Segment three, shit. Segment four,
okay.
Shit. All right, we're done.
There we go. That was a match.
Well, we talked about the Hall of Fame forum, which really was just nothing to talk about, and especially even that line,
actually,
at the end. The I'm not going to Night of Champions to beat Brock Lesnar. I'm going to beat Brock Lesnar's ass. That wasn't fucking good.
No, they're breaking that wall, dude. They're becoming PG-14 again. Oh, my God. Hopefully this isn't a weekly thing, because Michael Cole was summing it up at the beginning as if a start of a new thing. And if that's a new thing, this is not a thing I want.
That was a thing.
It was a thing, but I didn't want it.
Well, I like how they justify,
you know what I mean,
or at least tried to justify it by saying that that changes a man, and that means that this time it's not that John Cena is going to fight the good fight and try to win. It's that he's going to fight the good fight and try to win. How did
remember
he change?
That one thing that they have for $9.99, you know, that YouTube page. This is something that I wouldn't mind if they had on one of those things, except this didn't serve any purpose at all because nothing happened that we didn't already know what was going to happen. It was just weird. It was just unexpected, and I really wish it was never expected again.
After that, we had Rusev against Jack Swagger. The fans seemed like they really wanted Swagger to win again, and of course he doesn't. Rusev wins when the ref stops the match, and I believe, Wago, it was you that had said Rusev just killed the mood.
He really did kill this fucking mood, because this match, even during Rusev's original offense during this match, the fans were into it. It was a good backwards and forwards match, and they had me thinking, oh, Swagger might actually pull out a win here. At the same time, I was thinking, what a fucking throwaway it'd be to do it on Raw as opposed to SummerSlam when they had their match. But became a non-issue, because as soon as he started doing those kicks to the ribs, with each kick, you could hear the fans caring less and less.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a shitty way to end. If you wanted to do one of those injury angles where he can't continue, at least involve the environment prior to the beatdown on his ribs. I mean, it just seemed kind of meh. We see matches not get stopped for a lot worse than that, so I didn't understand it. By that logic, John Cena's match would have been stopped halfway in.
Very true. Can't argue with that. What do you think about that, Drew?
You know, actually, at one point, I think he did the surprise, ankle lock, he was facing down, he surprised him. I thought maybe it would have been ended right there, and if they did it right there and have Swagger win, I thought it'd be, hey, at least he got the win, finally. But it'd just be random. This episode of Raw might actually have something to be of note. But with each kick, like Wago said, I started caring less and less. It killed momentum, because the next match, oh, man, you could hear a pin drop. That's how bad the end of this match was. It was just so terrible. I don't want that to happen again.
That took us into – oh, go ahead.
There's something about Jack Swagger's offense which I don't like with his ankle lock. Do you remember what Kurt Angle used to do when he wanted to really cinch it in and he used to voice the leg? It was later in his career he'd, grapple the leg between his walls doing the ankle lock, and it looks a lot more vicious. I really should integrate that or something, because right now, it looks such a stupid move when he's doing it.
It might just be Swagger's face.
Yeah. Or his fucking haircut. I don't know what the fuck he's doing with that thing right now.
God knows what that is.
Maybe.
It's like he goes, "We the people," and everyone are like, "I hope I'm not the same person as you."
No. It's not "We the people." It's "We the people." Sounds like Chris Lee.
Is somebody who want him to put the ankle lock on?
Man, I would have rather watched Chris Lee Knows Best.
I still would rather not have watched that. you got to get worse than this episode of Raw for me to watch Chris Lee Knows Best, even though this was not a good one. But that took us into the United States Championship number one contenders match, which they really didn't even need to have, because when you announce that kind of a stipulation and you have RVD versus Cesaro, I wonder who's going to win. Cesaro, of course. And the only really thing that happened that was, I guess, somewhat interesting in my mind was that he tossed the belt at Sheamus' face afterwards. Just like, "Here you go, fucking catch this hot potato, you son of a bitch." Yeah, it's an RVD match against Cesaro, who has kind of fallen off the wayside here. So what am I going to say about it, you know? What do you think, Drew?
It was a match.
Wigo?
As soon as this match began, I was like, "Who's the champion again?" "Oh yeah, Sheamus holds that." "What Sheamus again?" "Oh, he's a face." "Yes, Cesaro's winning." And then I lost all interest because it was predictable.
But that hat, though.
That hat was stupid.
Looks better than probably look on you.
I hope Cesaro wins the title just because he threw it in at Sheamus' face. It was probably the most entertaining moment of this entire show.
It was definitely up there. Which is really sad.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, as soon as I was like happy that Cesaro won, his music played, and I was like, "Oh, god damn it." He's like, "I want Cesaro to lose just so I don't have to hear his fucking music."
I mean, you don't like that.
Cesaro. I'm not sure if it's made it worse or better. I think it just might just be equally as fucking obnoxious, the new siren.
Well, wait, what was the siren before it?
It was like a... It was more of a warning siren as opposed to a police siren.
A police siren, okay. Which essentially is the same thing. But yeah, I do remember it sounding a little different.
Creepers on the radar in the chat. "Mr. Carter, have your dorm mates call in. Tell them if they don't, you'll kill them tonight."
All right, hang on. Hey, say hi.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hello. They don't care anymore.
Drew called you a bitch.
Yeah, they probably already know that.
You want to move for an animal cracker, right?
Yeah, I'll take an animal cracker.
Hashtag animal cracker.
Is it sad that I'm more interested in what animal you have for the animal cracker than this episode of Raw?
Nah, I don't need to worry about it. They're kind of stale, but, you know, animal crackers and animal crackers, so...
That's a college fucking diet right there. Stale animal crackers.
Yeah.
You need to go enjoy that with your dry-ass ramen.
Chase it down by some lukewarm beer or something.
I don't know.
Tony, yep. You think he's actually going to get served for beer? Have you seen his face? He looks 13.
Oh, God. Let's move on here. We have Paige versus Natalya. Natalya was beating Paige the past couple of weeks because of some interference by AJ Lee. And they decided that they were going to continue going on with that. So, what in the world's going on there?
I don't know. You might want to mute his microphone.
Eating animal crackers, that's what's up.
Fuck me.
That's a loud animal. Are you eating real animals? Are you sure they're squealing in the background?
No, I think you're just throwing crackers at animals.
Yeah, I'm done. You can go in there now.
All right, Drew White's muted for right now. I'm going to put you back on a little bit later. So, Paige and Natalya. Paige wins with the Paige Turner after a blah kind of a match. And AJ Lee comes out, calls her little English muffin. Isn't that adorable? And gives her a hug and a kiss on the hand. Kind of expecting something else. But, hey, it's better than nothing, right?
I'm English. I could be her muffin. I'm just saying.
You know what I was complaining about, AJ, for like the longest time in this tournament?
I complained about everyone, I think. Was there actually anyone that I liked?
Renee Young?
Yeah, I did like Renee Young. Yeah. What the fuck didn't Renee win?
She made it further than I thought she was going to.
And you say this is how little we care about this role that we're talking about a Divas tournament that's over already.
That's true.
Yeah, but as far as this match goes, it was blah, and the segment was even blarer. I don't know what you do with this storyline, because it feels like it's run its course, and maybe you were right and they started it too early, but I don't care about a third match between them.
Maybe.
And the sad thing is, I think it's going to go all the way to the Rumble.
The Rumble? Holy shit, that far?
I think they've put all their eggs in one basket, and that's the way it's going to go.
Hmm. Well, let's give us a shot here. Drew, let's see what those animals are screeching in the background for.
Yes, yes, I've taken the party downstairs. That's what's happened. After you guys, of course.
What do you think about the Paige and Natalya match in that whole segment?
It was a match. By that, I mean, stuff happened. And AJ, yes.
Did they lock you in a fucking cupboard?
Ooh, my bad. That was loud.
Yeah, now you've got a wicked echo going on.
Yeah, I'm in the downstairs bathroom, which is even bigger.
Well, can you only actually, like, have they made you have the bathroom as your fucking recording studio?
Well, one of them took a shower and the other one was going to bed officially, so I took this via Skype or phone call downstairs.
Ferris 419 says he's in Kane's boiler room.
Well, I was originally going to take this to the hallway, but then as soon as I got out there, there was like 20 people out there just coffee, and apparently we're having a hall party on a Monday night. So I was like, oh, let's take it to the stairwell. But then the stairwell was like 100 degrees and there was women.
Chris was under radar and said, damn, are you Zordon?
Wait, what did he say?
He said, damn, you were Zordon. Zordon. Part of me feels sad because I think Drew's too young to remember Zordon.
Yeah.
Fucking knew it.
All right, Drew, I'm going to put you back on mute again because we're getting a lot of echo, and I'm going to take another caller here.
All right.
540 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's going on?
Remember me from last week?
Oh, hey, what's up, dude?
How you doing? I want to talk about tonight's Raw.
What do you want to talk about? Hit us with it.
Hello, how you doing?
We're doing all right. How you doing, man?
Doing just fine, thank you. Oh, yeah. All right, let's talk about Raw. I don't think I've ever seen a dominant Cena like that before tonight. I don't think I've never seen Cena dominate any man like he did tonight.
Really, ever?
I've never seen Cena dominate Bray Wyatt. Well, in the one-on-one match that was rudely interrupted, but the six-man tag after the match, I mean, he just took out three Wyatt family members to send a message to Brock Lesnar. I am ready to see Cena whip Lesnar's ass and take the WWE belt from him. I am ready to see that.
Do you think that's actually going to happen at Night of Champions, or do you think this is just kind of a build-up to get your hopes up for that?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I think Cena might win on a DQ. Well, Lesnar might win on a DQ, but SummerSlam, I don't know. But after seeing what I saw at SummerSlam, I don't know if Cena can take many of those suplexes like Brock did. I mean, Cena was trying to channel Brock tonight. He was trying to do like 16 of them, but he just couldn't do it tonight, you know? Maybe we'll see a different Cena next week, and when he faces somebody, I think he should use like some German suplexes on the guy. But okay. All right, here's my next question. My next question is this. How in the world are they going to make Nikki and Brie fight again? I think Brie, on the other hand, doesn't want to fight Nikki. You remember all that brother-sister storyline stuff with I will never fight my own flesh and blood? Well, we've seen that before, and I think Brie's gonna finally say, you know what? I've had enough, Nikki. I want to fight you.
Oh, I got a simple answer to this. Bacon sandwich on a pole. I'd knock my mother out with a chair for a bacon sandwich.
That does sound kind of good.
See? Tony's all about that life.
Bacon sandwich? What the hell?
What do you think is the best course of action when they come to this? Because they got to end it eventually. So what would be the end game of Brie versus Nikki that you would like to see?
Well, I would like to see the end game with Brie and Nikki trying to work out their differences. But I'm thinking Nikki's going to have something up her sleeve. And if Nikki wants to, if this rivalry needs to build up, Nikki's going to need somebody like a bodyguard or like a bodyguard diva. She's going to need somebody to help her with Brie.
Who would you put in that role? Maybe like Tamina when she gets back from injury? Or I don't know. Who do you think?
Well, I know Tamina definitely was playing a good role with AJ, so I think that should be the best they should do with Tamina. And so yeah, I definitely do think Tamina should be the mouthpiece for Nikki Bella to help her with Brie. Anyway, getting into this whole authority storyline. Like I said last week, somebody had to step up. Somebody has to step up to the authority. And I think maybe I'm wrong right now. Roman Reigns is totally stepping up to the authority.
No, he definitely is. I mean, they had that little eulogy for Dean Ambrose tonight, led into that handicap match. Now we're going to get most likely Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at Night of Champions. He seems to be the guy that they're championing, you know?
Well, I see, that's my point. That's the problem. Orton's still on the hunt for Roman Reigns, which, by the way, he's going to be on the highlight reel next week again on the highlight reel on Raw in Des Moines, Iowa. And I can't spell Des Moines right.
Des Moines, yeah.
I can't spell Iowa right very much, but yeah, Orton is going to be on the highlight reel, I think. And I don't know if a Reigns versus Rollins match at Night of Champions is going to happen. What I think could happen is Reigns against Rollins, Orton, and Kane in a handicap match at Night of Champions. That's my prediction. And what about Mizdow? That was another alter ego of Damian Sandow. This Sandow crap's got to stop.
You mean you weren't a big fan of the whole stunt double thing? I thought that was actually kind of...
I was.
No, I was not really a fan of Sandow. I'm not really a fan of his, gimmicks. Like, and I'm not really like his gimmicks, like Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, and what was that time when Hugh Jackman came out and it's all Sandow? Did he? I really can't remember now. It's all blur to me right now. I thought I remembered, but I don't really all that fun remember. Stuff like that. But yeah, these gimmicks of Sandow's definitely getting old, and I think they should put Sandow back to his regular gimmick.
Well, the other big thing that we had going on for this episode was the turn, the heel turn from Stardust and Goldust. What do you think about that?
I really don't know. I really don't know much about that. I mean, Goldust said we wanted a fair fight with them, and he's hurt, and then the Usos got right in their faces, and Stardust and Goldust just attacked them. So I think I agree with you on this one. Stardust and Goldust definitely are going to be the baddest team to contend with right now, and the Usos have to find out better competition. But then again, on the other hand, you got two giants like Big Show and Mark Henry. I mean, there's really going to be an epic tag team division right now, because these teams right now, mostly for the tag team championships, are like heating up right now. And it's big. And it's bad for the Usos, because everybody wants the titles from the Usos. Everybody wants... The Usos have got their head on a silver platter right now. They're marked men. They're champions. They're marked men.
That's true. And you get those two up against the two biggest guys in the company. That's not going to end that well.
You got me, yeah. Shell and Henry could, like, dominate the tag team division by the end of 2014, and eventually they could turn on each other, you know?
Yeah, anything could happen.
Because, you know, having Show and Henry is... I compare this Show and Henry team to, like, King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd. in comparison to King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd. All right, and another thing, what was with that kiss on the hand with AJ and Paige? What was going through her mind with that?
Oh, sure, he had her mind in the gutter, but that was great.
I ain't mad. I ain't complaining. I want my mind in the gutter as well.
Yeah, they gotta take it slow. Next week they can go further, you know?
if you know
what I'm saying? and the only noticeable thing, Lawler and JBL just cannot shut up about the WWE Network as well. I know WWE Network has Monday Night Raw and the WCW Nitro. I was a huge Attitude Era fan when I started watching wrestling when I was like 9 years old, and I enjoyed seeing The Rock. I had WWE and WCW. I watched WCW when it came on at 8 o'clock. And I had to switch over to the WWE. Excuse me. So, I've seen all these WCW stars like Goldberg, Sting, Booker T, and Jeff Jarrett. And all the while, I've seen WWE stars like Triple H, The Rock, Austin, and Taker. I mean, that was a fight for supremacy right there. Time to take you back to the old memories where, hey, I want to see the old memories again. It's really good to see it on the WWE Network. But,
what would you say
for $9.99?
Well, what would you say, since we're going to wrap up the call here and move on to some of the other things here, what would you say would be your highlight and low point for this episode?
Well, the highlight... Well, there's not really many highlights. I can't think of none, but what did you think? I think Reigns hitting that brick was the highlight too. And the low point, Nikki and Bree situation.
I think we're going to be all kind of doing that for our low point, but thanks for calling in, man. We're going to move along here with the eulogy talk and whatever, but Colin, as always, and hope that next week's a better one, right?
I'll talk to you all guys next week.
All right, see you, man.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, we're going to move along here. Eulogy for Dean Ambrose. Handicap match between Kane and Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns. Wago, what did you think about this kind of whole setup? Are you going to be interested in this feud or blah?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns feud, so if they're going to transition it to Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, I'm perfectly fine with it. We had a caller earlier mention that they don't like Kane being with Seth Rollins and thinks it's hurting him, but personally, I think Seth needs it. I find him a very bland personality-wise, fantastic hand in the ring, but he's missing something, so I think Kane actually adds a different dynamic to his character. I think the end run for Seth is to be a babyface, but until then, having some extra backing from Kane or Triple H is going to help him.
Drew, what are your thoughts on this?
The eulogy? Well, it wasn't really a eulogy because my boy Roman Reigns came out and did shit. So that was a thing. It wasn't really good because you kind of knew Reigns was going to come out because all I was talking about was one Shield and mention all things, yada, 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 obvious shit that no one wants to hear me say because I do this every time and then I just keep on talking. So I'm going to get straight to the point. This show sucks. There we go. Okay, what's up?
One little funny thing happened when Reigns tossed that brick, or, well, that fake brick, at the ring post. Some of it must have flown toward Jerry the King Lawler, because Michael Cole immediately afterward was just like, "You all right, King?" You don't hear King talk for about, like, a solid minute or so. That, some
another heart attack by King,
like... Then again...
That was okay.
We've always heard them oversell stuff, like when some guy's getting weapons on the outside and throwing them around. And go, oh, are you okay?
That's
oh
true.
Oh my God, he's throwing chairs. Chairs everywhere.
There's just one chair.
Oh my God, chairs everywhere.
It might have just been Michael Cole overselling it. I hope a piece of it flew off and lodged in his throat so he can't commentate anymore.
Yeah, commentary isn't that good lately. I don't know if it's just the King or it's just like the whole commentary team. But it's just blah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? We talked about this quite a bit already, but let's just give it one more rundown. Usos versus Gold and Stardust. They're referring to them as that now. Really imaginative. The Dust-to-Dust team ends up winning by countout, and then they turn heel, complaining that that was their one chance, apparently, to win the tag team titles. They're never going to get a chance again. That's pretty stupid.
Even though, we've just beat the champions again, making us the number one contenders again. Fuck. Our shot's gone.
Fuck, damn it. Shit.
So a dumb preference to turn them heel, but I don't know if this is a full-fledged heel turn yet or if it's going to be a steady slate.
Or, I don't know, they kind of made it obvious that, you know, they're here to kick ass and take names. You know what's been awesome? You know how, like, Stardust just kind of does his crazy, just gibberish, just making no sense. What if they do that? But he just cuts up a storm. Just like, fuck, Ted, Galactica, fuck.
I had no idea what you just said, but I suppose I can segue into one point I wanted to make. As far as the characters go, they always seemed a bit of a comedy face duo. I don't know how they're going to do this as a heel unit, considering they can't really play on Gold's assault tendencies during his heel run, like homophobic tendencies and all that crap. So I have no idea what they're going to do this time around.
Well, I mean, they already got one gay guy, Darren Young. But in all seriousness, you know, and I don't know, they could always just still be like that comedy heel group, you know, I last maybe DX in a way. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they're not, they can't do that, but that's just something on top of my head of like a, you know, comedy group to an extent at one point.
I'm kind of assuming that if they stick with the heel turn and this isn't just a fake out kind of a situation, that what they're going to do is they're going to keep the creepy backstage segment kind of stuff going. But since people weren't really cheering that, that'll be just something to boo, I guess, because it's boring.
I was cheering it. You know what? They're going to fake us out like they faked Mango out with the three Negroes.
All right, let's move on here. Dolph Ziggler versus Damian Mizdow. Damian Sandow playing up the Miz character there. Really quick match. Ziggler wins. Anybody got anything to say about this?
I came to play, and then I turned over the channel.
There's a kid with loud music walking towards me. I don't know if you can hear it.
Is that that the whole time?
No, that's a cricket. I told you this. That's a cricket. Some guy just walked by. I said hi to him. I have one sock on that's longer than the other one. And I think the people up front are laughing at me. And yeah, this is a match.
He just named four things that were more interesting than Raw.
That's true.
Oh, also the Domino's girl. Like, I'm sitting out front. There was a Domino's girl who came up, and she came up to me like, "Hey, here's your pizza." And I was very tempted to take it. And our school at Domino's has this like program where it's like, you get a free pizza if you use a coupon code.
You're so eating stale animal crackers and you didn't take the pizza, you fucking idiot.
Even okay, if it was stale pizza, it would have been an upgrade.
Yeah.
No, I know. My roommate offered me that. I had, like, pretzels and stuff in my room. I had Burger King and a sandwich, like a sub, they make, like, hot subs. No, honestly, the cafeteria here is not that bad. They also have, like, a Burger King and a Taco Bell nearby. I mean, shit, I ain't mad, you know what I'm saying? I need to stop doing that before I turn into a fucking wanker.
Too late.
Creep is on the radar in the chat. Drew, take the fucking pizza and run.
That's what I'm saying.
Domino's girl's gone. Can't beat it now. I think she's giving me a look. I think she was checking me out. All 5'7", 120 pounds of me. Oh, also, another thing. Ever since I showed up, I have been the shortest guy in all of my classes. Like, literally. Like, there's, like, black kids, like, 6'5", and then there's me, just, like, 125 pounds. Small. There's like, gosh, it's like, man, everyone's bigger than me. It's weird.
Here's something for you, Wago. Ferris 419, Lunch Talk Radio.
Hey. I know what I'm starting.
So we've got the sibling reconciliation thing. We ran this down. No. And the one line that we didn't mention specifically, though, that was beyond the worst line. I wish you died in the womb. Oh, Jesus God, that was so terrible. That was so bad. And I got to write that down in my notes. It's like something for one of the worst things that has happened this year in wrestling. Wago, what did you think about that we didn't talk about yet?
I think I hate wrestling a little bit more. It was fucking abysmal.
I think we're growing up.
I'm like, okay, I've got to get my sleep patterns adjusted. Back in America, I've got to stay up for Raw. That should shift everything in balance. Then this segment came on. Oh, God. I wanted to sleep so bad. It was fucking abysmal. Between the bad acting, Jerry Lawler all but sticking his cock up Nikki's arse, and was Stephanie in this segment or not? Well, she was all over the replays. They made it sound like she was going to have something to do with it, but I don't remember her doing it.
Nah, she stayed out.
I wish she was in it because at least someone with some promo skills would have made this mildly interesting. I praised Brie in the past for improving, but she did a good job of fucking all that up. I'm glad they dropped the... what was that lady that was pretty much the Claire Lynch of WWE? But I'm glad they dropped her out because... God, that was bad, but I think they took it down to a new level tonight.
Yeah.
Drew, your thoughts?
So, what?
Go, Drew.
Your thoughts, Drew.
Your thoughts.
Oh, my thought.
No, ask your fucking roommate's thoughts. Who the fuck do you think we're talking about?
I don't know. My roommate was asking me stuff about Raw as it was happening. I wasn't even paying attention. And I had to explain, like, the disqualification they did with, like, Cena and, why did they attack? I'm like, well, that's just their thing. They just attack people for no fucking reason. He's like, oh, that's stupid. I'm like, well, yeah, well, you're stupid. I didn't say that. I said it's fine. He probably kicked my ass because he's 6'5 and 240 pounds, and I'm still 120 pounds. That's not changing anytime soon. So as I pull up my shorts, yeah.
As you pull up your shorts, why were they down?
Oh, no, they were kind of...
Well, as he mentioned, his roommates are over 6 foot, and hence why there was down. He was having his way with them.
It's not my fault, too. Okay, listen, I didn't have a choice in the matter. One of them, I think, is going to become a frat boy. He has that pretty boy look going on, like pretty boy swag. Hey, a little bit of soldier boy. So I don't know what his plans are. I mean, shoot, I wish both of them would just die so I could have to bring them myself, but die in the womb.
We're still messaging them on the Facebook what this episode was so they can hear this.
Yeah, I'll record I'll cut a clip so they can hear you saying you wish they'd die.
And that you didn't give them that pizza.
No, dude, we're not showing them this or the pizza. Fuck them, they don't need my pizza. They don't share shit with me. It's the first time they share animal crackers with me. Fuck them.
Yeah, they only shared you with you because they were stale.
Alright, we had Los Matadores versus Slater and Gator. Los Matadores wins in this boring, unfunny, but supposed to be funny segment that started off with a little backstage promo where Slater was saying that they are kind of like superheroes, and he's like Spider-Man, and Titus O'Neil is like Peter Parker. He's like the Hulk. Titus O'Neil is like Bruce Banner. And then Titus O'Neil says he would rather be the Thor character because it has no alter ego. I love my superhero talk, obviously, fanboysanonymous.com, but this was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this was stupid, as you said. However, this girl who's messaging me on Twitter is talking about something more important than Raw, so it's something to keep note of.
Bego, what did you think about this?
So, Fernando's not injured anymore.
Yeah, he came back sometime for some reason.
Yeah. I don't remember when he came back, but he can go away again if he wants.
Very true.
Remember the one time where we thought you're saying Slater and Titus O'Neil were going to be a tag team and now they're not, and then you're just kind of like, whoa. No.
What the fuck happened to Heath getting a push? Because he was like beat Seth Rollins and eliminated Cesaro. Now no one cares about him anymore.
Yeah.
Heath Slater happened. They weren't ever going to give him a push.
Yeah, they were.
We have two more matches / segments that happened on this episode. Bo Dallas defeated Kofi Kingston. No stable again tonight. Kofi Kingston back to being a babyface, and Bo really struggled with that Bo Dog, didn't he? That looked horrible. Lego.
I no longer believe. And I'm not sure if it's Bo Dallas's fault or WWE's fault. They didn't put him on TV every week. They killed his streak. His mean side that he developed against R-Truth is all but gone. So there's no direction for the character. Why do I care about Bo Dallas anymore? Oh, I don't. He's done. Stick a fork in him. He's done.
Do you believe, Drew? Or is it over?
I wish it wasn't over, because I've been invested in the Bo Dallas thing since he came on, but it's just that, you know, the couple weeks they didn't have him do anything, they just haven't came out and just didn't do anything. I think that hurt him, and, you know, the fact that he hasn't been in the feud up to now, and I think, as much as I hate this, I think Jack Swagger is a very bad guy to put him in a feud for his first real feud in WWE. So I think this will actually end up hurting him, and I wish that wasn't the case, but it looks like it will, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. We got 4 weeks until Night of Champions, I believe, from what they said at the beginning of the show, so we don't know what's going to happen. But hopefully that he's able to save himself, because if this fails, I think, those rumors that Vince McMahon wasn't really into the whole Bo Dallas thing might just be true. Fuck. We might lose Bo Dallas, unfortunately. Like, we lost Adam Rose, but that's not pretty much what we lost. But
I'm personally hoping that Jack Swagger runs right through him at Night of Champions with ease.
Might happen.
Well, then we expect Jack Swagger to win a match, but, you know, that doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. Maybe that'd be just Jack Swagger's thing. Everyone just kicks his ass, but he won't, like, quit, so he always just has to do a ref's decision for everything.
All right, we had one more match. This was the main event segment of the evening. John Cena was going to face Bray Wyatt, but Harper and Rowan interfered, and it became a Teddy Long Rule with Henry and Big Show helping Cena out, and it became a six-man tag match. Cena wins that for his team, tries to make a big impression of being a tough guy. Did it come off that way, or were you kind of unenthusiastic? Wiggo?
John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Sorry, you cut out for me. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yep.
I understood what they were trying to do. They were trying to bring across this malicious Brock like John Cena, and he even used his German suplexes to send a message. I got what the story they was trying to tell, but it just didn't work, because when you compare Brock Lesnar and John Cena, it isn't just a moveset or how they beat someone. It's an aura that they have to, and Brock Lesnar just has a different feel, different aura. And he's also got that mainstream realism to him there from being a professional fighter, so I don't think it really added much. It just, and we're so used to seeing John Cena cripple talent over and over again. It was like, Cena ran through someone again. Surprise, surprise. So it really didn't do much.
Drew, your thoughts on this final segment before we move on to, we have another caller here, so...
I didn't really pay attention to this. I think I was just checking stuff out on Facebook, because it's like, oh, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. We've seen this already, so I just kind of tuned out. And then I kind of went into like a commercial, and it came back, and I was on Big Show and Mark Henry, and I had no fucking clue what was going on. And then next thing I know, I heard John Cena F5 everyone. So the Wyatts, yeah, I think they might be buried.
Oh, yeah. By the way, congrats, WWE. You gave Bray this big win over Chris Jericho, and you go, fuck it up and have Cena destroy him. Well done. Kill all his momentum. Again.
So, Mobile Sensation, we got you on the line here. What's up, man?
Well, how you guys are doing this week? I'm pretty cool. I think somebody needs to tell Kane that he's not Mick Foley, so he doesn't need to have three faces.
Well, you got the corporate Kane, you've got Demon Kane, and then I don't know what you would call the thing that he's got going on at the top of his head right now, but it's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a big red monster, then there's a big red machine, then there's a corporate Kane. It's like, you know, dude, pick one, you know, and run with it. Yeah.
Go back to Isaac Yankum.
You know, next week he's going to come out like a monster now.
He needs to do the Raw Roulette at the beginning of each show, and whatever it lands on, that's the gimmick he'll portray.
Yeah, but you guys notice that Kane got smaller than he used to be? Because when he first came in, he was like a big guy, and now he's like small.
I wouldn't say he looks small. I think he might be a little leaner, but I wouldn't say small.
Yeah, he doesn't really like seem like that much of a monster like he did when he first came.
Well, also, I think a lot to do with Kane's look, even when he's in his mask. He doesn't use the makeup anymore. It looks like a half-assed attempt and just going in the ring. And when he's in the suit, wrestling, it gives a whole other impression to him. So I believe it's a lot to do with what he's actually dressing himself up like.
Yeah, you know, but I think they pretty much dropped the ball with Kane. I like the push they had with him when he beat The Undertaker like three times, like three pay-per-views in a row. I thought that was one of his best pushes of all time. But then, you know, they didn't really do anything after that.
Well, there's still some time. They might be able to get something out of him.
But in regards to this Raw, though, I like Nikki. I have to say, Nikki Bella is better on the mic than I thought. I mean, she really had the crowd going. I mean, she really cut a damn good promo, in my opinion. I mean, she really, like, took that segment and made it her own. I like how she beat up Jerry Lawler, you know, while she was doing it.
So you're actually on the positive end of the spectrum for this one. That's something different here. Everybody else has been really running it down. What was it that you really enjoyed about it?
You know, I don't really care too much, like, for the match, because I know the match is going to be crap. But I like how Nikki Bella is cutting her promos, and Bree's just, like, crying the entire time. It's just, like, interesting just to see Nikki Bella, like, show that heel. Like, she's a, you know, I don't really care for Bree, but Nikki Bella, like, I didn't know she could really act that well. You know, I always thought she was just, like, a goody-goody two-shoes Kelly kind of girl.
Well, what do you think about this new heel turn for the Dust Brothers?
oh, I love the heel turn. You know, I think they needed something different because the Dust gimmick was completely retarded, in my opinion. And I like how now they're using it to their advantage. So maybe Gold Dust might go back to his androgynous heel, you know, kind of thing. You know, all they need is a woman now, and, you know, they're a badass team.
Yeah, they need a new Marlena, right?
Yeah, a new Marlena or something, you know. And you know, they could pick anybody. They could get Summer Rae, you know. They could probably take that chick from Rusev, you know, something like that. Or Paige, maybe. You know, you never know.
So what would you say is your high point, low point for this episode, Mobile Sensation?
Oh, the low point was definitely the end. You know, like, I didn't see the whole point in burying Bray Wyatt and the entire family. You know, like, 1 week we have Mark Henry, he's going against Rusev, and then he's back in the tag team. So he's a tag team, then he's not a tag team, then he's in a tag team again. You know, then, like, they just say, oh, well, John Cena, we're just going to come up there and save your ass because we like you, even though you pretty much buried us at every pay-per-view we fought you at.
Sure.
Yeah. So they're, like, taking, you know, they're picking up for John Cena for some reason. I don't know if they're a friend. And then John Cena just, like, beats everyone on his own. And it's like, you just bury, like, three guys, you know, in one night. You know, it kind of, I thought Bray Wyatt was feuding with Chris Jericho. I'm kind of confused. You know, I don't know what's going on there. Like, you know, they're just, like, going all over there. And, like, the WWE creative team just threw out the storylines. They were like, oh, let's just start over.
Oh, well, I got a report on Chris Jericho. He's busy dabbling in some projects.
Dabbling?
I just thought, like, Chris Jericho coming back in the first match, he just been clean. Like, I just thought that was ridiculous. I think Bray Wyatt should have went over the entire time. You know, just beat him again, then, you know, just leave or something, you know? Something like, I like Chris Jericho, but he's a part-timer, and I'm not a fan of part-timers.
So that was your low point was the end of the episode? What was your high point?
The high point, the high point, you know, actually the thing is I kind of, let me see here, the high point, they had Roman Reigns, oh, I like the eulogy, you know, I thought the eulogy was funny, you know, I thought Seth Rollins cut a damn good promo, don't care too much for Brock Lesnar's segments, because he's never on the show, so I really don't care about that match, But yeah, I thought Seth Rollins got a good eulogy until Roman Reigns ruined it. So I have to say the high point would have to be Nikki Bella.
All right, changing it up a little bit there. We got a bunch of people saying negative for that. You got a positive. Thanks for calling in, man. Great call as always. Feel free to call in again next time, dude.
All right, no problem.
All right, we're going to move on to another caller here. We've got Silent Wind of Doom. Silent Wind,
holy
what's
crap.
Going on?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, hey. Nothing much. I've never done this before. It's cool. You can hear me, right?
Yep, we can hear you. What's your name, man?
I'm Jeff SilentWorks. I wrote things down. I decided to go quickly so that I don't get the chat yelling at me, moo, like earlier.
Moo.
So let me just run down some things. The opening segment, Hogan came out and he didn't just unabashedly show the network. That's a positive, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Did Flair sound weird for anyone else? He seemed to be kind of lisping or something more than I've never heard him talk like that before. Like he bit his tongue before the segment or something.
I didn't pick up on that. I don't know.
He tends to get like that every time he reads a statement from the IRS.
I still believe. No one. I was pretty positive tonight. No one else seems to be at all. But originally, when Bo came out, I think it was last week, I was wondering, is he going to be the next villain, or is he going to try and inspire him and become the next replacement for Zeb Coulter if he's not coming back? Because I don't know what's happening there. But I would love it if he thinks in his demented head that he is the next Zeb Coulter and tries and coaches him along. And Swagger just hates him and hits him the whole time.
That would be interesting.
I actually like that idea.
Yeah, I'd be up for saying that. That's something different.
Zeb's out injured for a while. I'd love to watch Bo Dallas coach him. I might actually be interested again.
Cesaro won a match. Yay. It's for the USA belt, but it's something.
Yeah, it's something. It's better than nothing, right?
He grabbed the belt, and in a lot of the matches, I've been wondering, why don't heels do that more often? Has anyone ever actually just taken the belt and ran off, and they just have it sitting right there next to the mat?
Not that often. Every once in a while, somebody will steal a belt, but they really should just do that more. Just be like, well, it's mine now, and screw you.
I had a fan dude that at an indie show I worked once. I just, like, walked up to the counter, took the belt, and walked out the arena.
It is pretty close there. I like Paige's new ring gear, and her butt looks amazing in the sharpshooter.
Can't deny that.
Moving on. Is this the first time that Reigns has ever actually acknowledged Seth Rollins since he got hit in the back with the chair?
Yeah.
It's good that they're going on to that, because they seem to just never acknowledge that.
It's like, oh, my back. Damn you, Orton.
What was the reason why they changed the Kane mask? I heard that he had issues breathing, but I don't like it. He doesn't have a mask now, but I don't know. It's his nose. It looks weird. It makes me... Damn, he looks like John C. Reilly. And I can't not see that. I love Miz's gimmick. I love the whole stunt double thing. I thought Santa was hilarious. And out loud just started laughing when he came out. I was not expecting that because he has been around for a while. Almost done, I swear. The Bella segment was painfully bad and awkward, almost. Oh, my goodness. But it was like a real awkwardness. Like, I feel like I'm watching this out on the street and just going, oh, this is terrible. And we got to find out what happens when Comedy Jobber meets Comedy Jobber in the tag team match. Did anyone else, at the end, like, it got towards the end, I'm like, oh, well, Cena match is coming up next, and then they did another match, and they were like, they showed the commercial. Cena match coming up next. And then they slipped in, like, the last two matches before Cena. In, like, the last half an hour, they did all these matches really quickly.
Yeah, the Los Matadores one, the Bo Dallas one. Especially the Bo Dallas one.
Bo Dallas shocked me, too. Like, really? We're putting that in? Oh, Kofi came out alone. They never showed anything. That angle is actually dead, and it makes me sad. I wanted a new Nation. I miss the Nation. I also miss Goldust Swig, but I mostly miss the Nation. And finally, I didn't even notice the last match because I was trying to get my confirmation email to work out because I was trying to figure that out. But it was in my spam folder, so I made it into the chat and everything, and that's my time. Bye, everybody.
Well, real quick, what would you do with your high point, low point for this episode?
Quick moments. I don't actually know. I didn't think about that. Well, obviously the Bella segment is the low point. High point. Cesaro won a match. And I very rarely laugh out loud the way that I laughed when Sandow came out. So I'll go with that for a high point.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
I'm rare in that, but yes. Thank you very much.
See ya.
All right. So we're winding down on this episode. We still have a little bit of time left. So if anybody does want to call back in for the little bit that we do have, 760-512-7247. But we've talked about everything that happened on this episode. So if you don't call in the next minute or so when we're running down some of the plugs and different things that we have going on for promotional purposes, then we'll probably just end up saying goodnight to you guys. Wago, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you kind of wanted to throw out there for this episode?
I was not here for a special time during professional wrestling, and I just wanted to cover it. Del Rio doesn't have a job anymore. I approve of this.
You weren't here when we talked about that?
Nope. I just left, and I was like, oh, damn it.
I thought that you were there for like that first episode.
I don't think it was. Either way, good times.
It doesn't hurt to mention it again and have fun reveling in the idea that he's not going to be popping up anymore. Especially the way
that time he lost to Sin Cara. That was awesome.
Alrighty, guys. Well, we went through everything on this episode, so that means the only thing left that we have to do that we haven't done yet is, of course, the old standard good, the bad, and the ugly. If this is your first time listening in to the Raw Post Show and you're not familiar with what the good, bad, and the ugly is, that's basically the way that we can describe it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, there's something that happened that was positive in the episode, and there's something that had to have happened that was bad. And then, unfortunately, the thing that we are most embarrassed about, if we were to be showing this to somebody who's not really into the idea of pro wrestling. So, Wago, what would your good, bad, and ugly be?
They're not getting a good. They don't deserve a good. They fucked up royally tonight. If I had to choose a good, it'd be for the sake of trying to come up with something. So they don't get a good tonight. The only thing that was good about the show was that it ended. As far as bad goes, I've got a lot of fucking choice tonight. And I'm going to go with the main event. Blue. I should have cared about it. It's Bray Wyatt versus John Cena. It's two of the biggest names in the company. And they fucked it up. They derailed any momentum Bray had, and John Cena did a few German suplexes, whoop-de-doo. And ugly, I think it's a given. The Bray and Nikki segment, horrendous.
All right, my good and bad and the ugly. I'm actually going to give one thing a good here, and that's going to be the one little line in the AJ and Paige segment of, "Oh, Paige, my little English muffin." That made me chuckle. And that's kind of cute. So I'll give it to that.
It's also kind of sad that that's the good you chose.
Isn't it? Because I really couldn't think of anything else. So what else was I going to do? You know? My bad? You could just give or take. It's pretty much everything on the episode. And my ugly, the Bella Twin segment. Specifically, if I'm going to give a positive to the one line in the AJ one, I gotta give the specific ugly to the "I wish you died in the womb" one, because that emphasis on womb, god damn it, Nikki. I made fun of you last week for the way that you were cutting your promo, and you made it even worse in that fucking line. God. So one last thing for us to do on this episode here. Some plugs.
Is Drew dead?
Yeah, we lost Drew a little while ago. Oh, we've got Peyton calling in here. Peyton, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Late to the party as always. Just fashionably late, though. You know, only, like, just at the end of the show.
Only with, you know, 20 minutes left.
We're nice. How you doing?
So, tremendous. How was your trip? I saw you got wet with some ice water. What the hell was that all about? I mean, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, some douchebag nominated me, and, you know, just do your thing.
You're late to that party, too? So, did you get a chance to watch any of this episode?
No, but from all the feedback I've been seeing from everybody, I'm probably not missing much.
Oh, you're not missing anything.
Awesome. Yeah, if you want to watch one thing, just go back to the Nikki and Brie segment. It was fucking fun.
But did one of them show their tits again?
No.
No, but we did get one of the worst lines out of anything this entire year.
What's that?
They threw this little reference out there that they, you know, had been together in the womb, and even in the womb they were holding hands together, and, you know, I miss that, and you're my sister, and I love you, whatever. And when Nikki decided to flip out and attack Brie, she ended up throwing out the line, "I wish that you had died in the womb."
That's awesome.
Really fucking awful. Just terrible.
That's like something out of the WWE Films kind of movie they would put. Oh, yeah. Did you guys hear about Kane's 3-foot schlong?
What?
There's apparently this report going around that Vince McMahon had this bright idea, and he called up the director for the new See No Evil movie, and he said at some point in the movie there he wants a scene where Kane takes out his penis, and he wants it to be exactly 3 feet long.
That was from the old one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I heard that.
Maybe Vince. Like, maybe he didn't get past the first one, so he's trying to push it this time.
Maybe.
Could be.
I wouldn't put it past.
This was a recent report I read.
Now, I've heard that a couple years ago of the old See No Evil, that they were going to do that kind of a scene, and they decided not to do it.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe he did it again, and the director of this movie, because they said it was for See No Evil 2, the new one coming out.
Yeah, maybe this time around it was like in the contract clause. He's like, all right, guys, fine, we'll do another See No Evil one, but one condition, Kane's going to have a giant dick in this one.
Yeah, but why is it exactly going to be 3 foot? It's like, are you going to measure it?
Exactly.
Vince is going to show up on the set and
be like, exactly 3'5" long.
He's going to show up on the set and he's going to be like, I don't know, guys. That looks like it's like 2.5 feet. This is not holding up the end of the bargain that I was hoping.
All right, where's the props department? Let's get them in here.
Well, Vince McMahon would be saying it with like a whole lot more vigor and be like, it's got to be 3 feet long. Like, you know, you need this massive, massive cock.
I love cocks.
Take it back to the old DX. So from hearing what had gone on this episode, not seeing any of it, you're thankful, I'm sure.
I was curious to see was the Hall of Fame, I don't know, but like the Legends Roundtable thing that they advertised.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything either.
Yeah, no. Shawn Michaels was kind of a dick to Hogan. That was cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's always fun to watch.
I don't know how much you can really call it being a dick. It wasn't terrible.
It kind of interrupted him, but it was enough where I went, ha, Hogan.
Kennedy.
Yeah, you know, he looks kind of like Anderson.
Wow, you're right.
Oh, inside jokes. So, anything you want to talk about?
How about that crazy shit in Ferguson? No, nobody wants to talk about that.
Ferguson? What's happening in Ferguson?
Yeah.
They've robbed us of a Nation of Domination gimmick, bastards. How dare
you?
No,
you know, the whole, like, crazy thing going out there where, like, the kid got shot and now people are protesting and it was all, like, crazy and SWAT teams came in.
No,
are you really completely oblivious to this?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Are you really, like, completely clueless to this? This is, like, one of the biggest headlines of the year. Like,
I heard
yeah,
a black kid got shot and people were upset. That's all I know.
Pretty much what happened. A black kid got shot, and I don't know the details. Like, I wasn't there, so I can't say, but everyone believes it was a hate crime. The cop was a white guy who shot a black kid without a gun. But then there's also this video that came out, like, just from hours before the kid got shot, where he was beating up some old convenience store clerk. So it's like, who do you defend on this side? And, like, there's, like, huge, huge groups of people that are rallying for both sides. There's people in defense of the cop, and there's people in defense of the kid. And at one point, things were getting out of hand, and there was all these SWAT teams coming in, throwing tear gas at people and all this crap. It's, like, freaking crazy dystopian shit going on over there right now.
Well, I've been watching the Simpsons marathon.
I was in England, so I didn't concern myself with America's trivial BS.
Mm-hmm. How about the Ebola then, huh?
Yeah, I brought that back with me.
Oh, lovely. I mean, they let people bring it back here, so why not?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, actually, I noticed when I came through the airport, there's like a huge screen going, Ebola warning. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to die.
Woof.
Yeah. God, this world sucked.
It's true.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't even bother like going back and watching the 3 hours. Because
no.
I have to actually, you know, put effort to track down Raws because they don't have it on demand. I guess they have it on Hulu Plus, but I ain't paying for no Hulu Plus. I pay for the network. I should freaking have it on there.
Well, don't worry, Peyton. In about 2 months' time, you'll be able to catch this episode on the network.
Actually, you know what? My network subscription ran up, and I just haven't renewed it yet. I'm going to wait. I'm going to renew it right before the review.
I know what I renewed.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't care. I was going to pay for it anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you didn't know, is available for only...
like $26,
oh,
I think.
Leave me hanging.
I am, because Miguel made that joke 50 times on Smack Talk, and I wanted to stab him.
Where's Drew?
Eating animal crackers that are stale.
Yeah, Drew just kind of like, not enough, flew off the face of the earth.
How is the little scamp? Is he adjusting well to college?
A little bit.
No, not really. He was doing it from the fucking shower room because he didn't want to wake anyone up. And then he got kicked out of there and ended up going into another bathroom.
Wow, this is going to work out wonderfully, I can tell.
Yeah, so...
I'm surprised anybody's listening to us. I looked at the chat room, there was actually a few people there.
They're slowly dwindling away now.
Oh, because what do they think, this show's bullshit? This is like the extra run stuff, the stuff you don't normally get to hear us talk about.
Yeah, this is the... Yeah,
they don't care. They want to hear us shit on freaking Alberto Del Rio some more.
Yeah, fuck
that. Yeah, fuck
so
Del
now
Rio.
I have to watch AAA in hopes of seeing Alberto Del Rio shit his underwear.
Nah, I'm sure somebody will post it on YouTube if he does.
Yeah, but we won't be able to search for it because it'll be all like Mexican fucking writing on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know how to write poop your pants in Spanish. I guess I can put that in a freaking translator. Yo, I wonder if there's like a log of all the translations people put into Google Translate or Yahoo Translate, and like if you could find just like the most random funny ones. Because you know, Tony, like we look at the analytics for our websites, you just see some of the most bonkers search results that brought people to our websites. Can you imagine the things you'd probably find in like Babelfish?
Yeah, I mean, if we've gotten people that have come to Fanboys Anonymous by searching for Crash Bandicoot porn, I really want to know what, like, those comments that have been left on the different YouTube channels and stuff that we've not bothered translating, what those end up being. It's got to be something.
Probably some kind of porn ad.
It could be. I met some local singles in Guatemala or something like that.
Yeah. So that's my contribution to the show tonight. Thanks everyone for listening.
Well, we do have a little bit of time left, but I think that we're going to call that the end of it.
We're going to euthanize this episode.
Exactly. So thank you to everybody who called in to this episode and all those that were listening and hanging out in the chat room as well. For some reason, the chat room is not loading for me anymore, and I'm not exactly sure why that is the case, but that's why I'm not coming out.
They're talking about The Simpsons, too. That's your favorite shit.
Ah, I love them. I wish I could get that to load, but Blog Talk Radio does not like me at the moment. So shout outs to all those people that were there earlier and all the guests that don't have names that I would happen to know. But we got those plugs that we can knock out. So Wago, hit us with some plugs.
UDMMA.com, Facebook.com/UDMMA, and Twitter.com/UDMMA. And also for the for the podcast that just signed up that is called Split Decision MMA, go fuck yourself.
Peyton, want to toss out some plugs there that I probably would end up forgetting about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I hope everyone out there enjoyed the show tonight. I'm sure Anthony and Wago and Drew did an excellent job filling in. I don't trust these guys with anything. So hope you all enjoyed. Join us every single Monday night if you can. If you can't, you can find us on smarkoutmoment.com, archived every single week. And for any other plugs, just follow me on Twitter at MRPayton. That's Mr. Payton.
Okie dokie, guys. SmartCatMoment.com, my plug that I usually throw out there. You can check me out also on Bleacher Report and on eWrestling News. You can listen to the Smack Talk podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as YouTube.com/SmartCatMoment. Also, check out FanboysAnonymous.com and everything else under A Mango Tree. You can find by looking at A Mango Tree and Tony Mango on Facebook and Twitter. And I think that Drew probably wouldn't have anything that he would necessarily plug other than possibly Domino's Pizza and some stale animal crackers. But thank you to Drew for popping in and being able to contribute to this episode as well. Next week, we will have this per usual, hopefully it'll be a better episode of Raw and we'll be able to go nuts over it instead of just talking about how fucking terrible it was. But nonetheless, we will be here. We will be taking your calls. So if you didn't get a chance to call in on this episode and you are listening to the archive version or something like that, then next week, there's your shot. Call in. Talk wrestling with us. We love having you guys. For everybody on this panel, everybody on the chat stuff, on the Smart Out Moment side of things, on the Mega Powers Radio side of things, I'm Tony Mango. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week.